Now this morning we just have a short time together, but I wanted to read with you this little article that's been prepared for this season. It's entitled "The Message of Pentecost," and maybe you, if you've been here more than one period, you've read it before. But if you young men would just help me give this out, Jacob and Tim maybe, or Lawrence, come, whoever. And as we read through it this morning, I would just like you to pay attention. And this is your copy. You can keep it, all right? So you don't have to give it back. So if you have a pen and you'd like to just underline something that speaks to you as you read, maybe then I'll ask you at the end just to share briefly what God has said to you. You need more? So remember now, if something blesses you, you want to underline it. But let's read it carefully. Just enough. I have one more. I'll read the first paragraph, and then if someone else would read the next one, we'll go through it like that. There are things that God is doing in the earth today that certainly claim our attention. There is something, however, that we might miss unless we are very careful. That is the manifestation of the presence of Jesus. The purpose God had in launching the Pentecostal movement was to make way for the presence of Jesus to be revealed, for Jesus Christ to be received by his people as King. That's quite a different thing from the things that people see and laud. When Jesus Christ manifests his presence, it means that a soul has broken through into a life of obedience. Someone has really wanted him. That is what brought the Pentecostal movement. People wanted him. At first, they knew nothing about powers, gifts, manifestations, but they knew that they lacked him and that they wanted him. I remember hearing people pray, "Oh, Jesus, we've been singing about you and hearing about you, but where are you? Where are you yourself?"
When Jesus Christ began to manifest himself, he brought people into an experience, an inward experience that transformed them. And there even came a majesty over their outward being, bearing. They came to know him. Jesus Christ said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You can't fool God. He will manifest himself only to people who really want him alone, who seek him alone, who keep his commandments, who pray through, believe through, obey through, and love through until Jesus Christ himself is revealed to them.
There cannot be only one call. That is to have Jesus Christ for ourselves. Once you have had a taste of his presence and of his indwelling, nothing else has an attraction for you anymore but himself. There isn't anything in heaven or in the earth or under the earth that can satisfy the human heart but Jesus Christ himself. And blessed are the people that are hungry for him and want him alone. Jesus is a very jealous bridegroom of the soul. He takes his bride through all kinds of trials to see whether in the hour of testing she will say Jesus instead of self, Jesus instead of people, and Jesus instead of things. People like that are going to happen.
Jesus Christ must find a people that are ready to receive him, himself, to be filled with him, to be united to him, a people who are not satisfied with anything short of waking in his likeness. And that's the thing we need to pay attention to. Am I doing all in my power? Am I doing all I know Jesus better? Is the cry of my heart, "Oh Jesus, I want to know thee"? We get sluggish, we get blind, we get indifferent to the call of the King. We say we're seeking him, but when he comes to manifest himself to us, we're not at home. Oh, how Jesus Christ longs to be revealed, to be manifested.
Do you know anything sweeter, more powerful, or more wonderful upon the earth than a meeting, whether it be two or three, or 2,000, where Jesus Christ is evidently manifested, where he walks in the midst and every heart is drawn to him, drawn into his presence, drawn into worship, everyone satisfied with himself, everyone open to him? Even though he may not use you in a great way, you have a great Savior, a great bridegroom, a great and wonderful King. And when you have him, you have everything. O Jesus, what a mistake we make when we want things beside yourself, or we want anything at all, no matter how spiritual it seems, besides yourself. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, that's what I need to labor over, to have the Lord for myself, to have Jesus for myself, never mind anything else.
What must I do in order to meet Jesus, to win Christ? Paul points the way. I count everything but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And nothing can withhold from me that knowledge of the Son of God, if I love him and keep his commandments, if I run after him with all my heart. All my labor ought to be over this one thing. O Jesus, that I might know thee and the power of thy resurrection. Wonder of wonders, when Jesus Christ finds a heart that wants him like that, he won't wait a long time before he'll begin to reveal himself. Deep down in your soul, there will be that still small voice, that wonderful anointing, that sweet presence of the Son of God, and it will be manifest wherever you work for him. Wherever you go, there will be that sweetness, that soft touch of his presence.
That's the thing that makes Holy Ghost meetings. Is because people have been accustomed to living in the presence of the Lord, and because they are reaching out after Christ instead of after good meetings. That's the thing we need to know in these wonderful days. While there are many noises and many voices that clamor for our attention, there is one still small voice, the voice of Jesus, saying, lovest thou me? Do you want me? There is no greater call than this, and this call has certainly and definitely come to our hearts. What are we doing with it? God and the devil are watching to see what you are doing over this one call, to have Jesus, to know him. The enemy is working overtime to make people not know Jesus. If I grow careless over this one thing, knowing Jesus, darkness and confusion will enter my soul, and I will become enamored of other things.
There must come a time in my soul and in your soul where Jesus Christ has become all and in all. When every other interest and every other affection has been wiped out, and there is only one interest, Jesus, no matter what he does with me, no matter whether he raises me into a place of power with himself or not, the important thing is that I have him for myself, that he satisfies the depths of my spirit. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Altogether, what a wonderful call. Let us reiterate it to our own hearts. Let us ask God to restore the light in our own souls. Let us become simple. It may be God will keep you small and hidden. Let others make a great noise and clamor for attention. The bride of Christ is hiding away in him with one desire, only to please the bridegroom. Amen. What blessed you? You don't have to necessarily elaborate on it, but is there something that spoke to you, a thought?
He will manifest himself. Only he will satisfy.
Amen. Jesus wants to manifest himself to us and satisfy us. Someone else.
It's loud and clear that we have to come down and humble ourselves, empty ourselves.
It makes no sense for us to idolize or worship anything but the Creator over his creation. It just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So do you know anything sweeter, more powerful, or more wonderful upon this earth than a meeting?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He takes his bride through all kinds of trials to see whether in the hour of testing she will say Jesus instead of self, Jesus instead of people, and Jesus instead of things. People like that are going to have him. I think it's so important that Jesus captures our hearts, that we desire him. I also like the thought there about the thought of good meetings. You know, we say, oh, that was a good meeting, and I think we understand, or at least I understand what people are saying when they say that. But here we're reminded that we don't have good meetings because we're looking for good meetings. What does it say? It says people are accustomed to living in the presence of God, and because they are reaching out after Christ instead of after good meetings. And so every time we come together, we ought to remind ourselves, we're coming to meet with Jesus. Jesus, we want you. We want more of you. Reveal yourself to us. Manifest your presence among us. And then this other thought of when people really desire him, I like it right at the beginning. When Jesus Christ manifests his presence, right in that first paragraph, it means that a soul has broken through into a life of obedience. Someone has really wanted him. And I think that the manifestation of his presence among us is in some way directly proportional to our desire for him. Why is it that Jesus comes? It's because people desire him. People want him. And so we have to examine our own hearts. Lord, do I really want you? Do I want you more than anything else? And when we have a heart like that toward God, then Jesus comes and he walks among us and he manifests himself. And so, Lord Jesus, I want you today to come to me. This is the message that we've heard. This is the message that has been preached here at camp and in our churches. We must seek after Jesus. It's wonderful when the Spirit of God touches us and we feel that power of God upon our lives, upon our bodies, but it's more than that. We don't want to look for those things necessarily and focus on that as being the end. As Sister Heidi said, it's not this. If you read the little article that's in your workbook about, again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the end of that article there's a message from the Lord, and often in that little message it says, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an open door. It's an open door. It's an open door. And the Lord wants us to walk through that door. And if God touches us in these days here at camp, it's just the beginning of what he wants to do in your life. And so we want to just seek after him every day. I look at my father, I look at Sister Marie Hofflander, I say at 93, why are they still seeking the Lord? Why? Because they found him to be precious, to be sweet. And he's put a hunger in their hearts to know him. And I pray that that hunger is found in us as well. Now, is there anyone else? I don't want to. Anyone else find something in here that blesses you? Thank you, Lord. There's a part of this that's in bold. That's something that we should remember. Am I doing all in my power? Am I doing all I know to know Jesus better? That's a good question to ask ourselves. And again, I'm going to remind you, we have a wonderful opportunity here at camp. A wonderful opportunity in these days to draw near to God, to seek him while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And so am I doing everything in my power to know Jesus better? My mother often would tell here at camp how, as a young lady on staff, she would get her Bible and her little notebook and she'd slip away during the day and found a spot out on Watch Rock, where she could spend time with Jesus. Beloved, it doesn't just happen. God is looking for those who want Him. And so if you truly want Him, find time in your day to slip away and get into His presence and be alone with Him, and He will reveal Himself to you. Let's ask the Lord to put that cry in our hearts. Jesus, I want to know You better. I want You to be my King. I want You to be first in my life. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's all just talk to Him right now. You bow your heart before Him. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, God, come to us, come to us, come to us. Thank You, Jesus.
Oh,
God, come. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Win it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as Thou. That's number 75 in our book, 75, in the camp book. Verse 2. I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasy. Sister Gladys is going home today, and we want to pray for her. I don't know if there's anyone else who's leaving today. You're leaving, Brother Chong, and your wife. It's been a real joy to have you with us, and we just pray that God will continue His work in your hearts as you go. Be with you. Teach me to feel that Thou art always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. Sometimes we don't always understand fully God's ways. Our sister Gladys has been through deep waters in these days. But God is faithful. God goes with you. God will give you the faith to carry on and to see Him. And so, dear Lord, I just commit my sister Gladys to You. Just pray that Your good hand of peace, joy would rest upon her. God, keep her under Your blood, under the precious blood. God, when the enemy would come and try to overwhelm, dear God, I pray that You'd put a song of praise in her mouth. Song of victory, a song of deliverance. Jesus, You're able to keep her in perfect peace.
Yes, Lord.
Set her in, my God. Set her in, Lord Jesus. More deeply into Yourself. Take us deeper, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, we pray for her family. Lord, You know the need. You know the great need in that family. But, Lord, You are able. You are able. What You've done for Gladys, You can do for each one of them. Bring them to a knowledge of Yourself, a deeper, fuller knowledge of Yourself. They know about You. They've experienced You in a measure. But, Lord, draw them with cords of love. Reveal Yourself to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's also now pray for our brother and sister. Someone lead us in prayer for them.
Dear Lord, we're so grateful for Your bringing the lungs to us for such a time as this, that they have been willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, You're no man's debtor. You pay them. You give to them as they have given out. We ask that You pour back in.
Yes, Lord.
That You bless them in a new way than they've ever known You before. Let Your presence go with them. Lead them, guide them, open their souls wider still to receive all the fullness that You have for them. We commit them to You. We just
yes,
pray, Lord.
Lord,
Your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 5.
Teach me to love Thee as Thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame. The baptism of the heaven descended.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. God bless you.